Voice of Reason Broadcast Network presents The Heretics Hour with Carolyn Yeager. Carolyn Yeager brings you news and commentary on Holocaust revisionism, World War II history, free speech issues, and more. And now, here's Carolyn.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the leading edge of internet radio. Well, I'm getting more boastful every week, but you know, there's never a crowd on the leading edge, so don't expect to find a crowd here. If you find a crowd where you're at, you can be sure the message being given you is dulled down so as not to offend too much. You can handle the truth, as it is said, and other slogans like that. Well, very few want the truth when they hear it, and even more fail to understand it. They prefer entertainment, science fiction, any kind of fiction, conspiracy theories involving the Rothschilds, Illuminati, the Jesuits, and Freemasonry, and good versus evil in a way that's easy to tell the players, you know, the white hats from the black hats. What do people listen to in alternative radio? Because I'm going to be talking about alternative radio today, again, in various ways. So according to Shoutcast, Alex Jones is way out in front. What does he offer? Conspiracy theory and a Save the Republic. And then, well, all the other things that I'm going to come up with for some of the others, but I don't want to be too repetitive. But mainly, conspiracy theory is what Alex is known for. Then there's Oracle Broadcasting, which is nowhere close to Alex, and none of these others that I'm going to mention are anywhere close. But still, Oracle seems to, well, last week it seemed to be stay above the others, but today I saw that it was not. So it varies. Just checking today, it was behind the next two I'm going to mention. But I'm going to say that I noticed that Oracle Broadcasting was calling itself the cutting edge of talk radio. Well, how dare they? I just came up with that title for myself. Anyway, conspiracy theory, down with government. That's what they do. By the way, they have a new host. They have a lot of hosts on Oracle. But there's a new one named Dennis Fetcho. Someone found his picture and sent it to me today, just right before the show, and he is clearly Jewish, according to this person. According to him, he's a Russian Jew, and he was, I'll bring that up later. Okay, then comes Republic Broadcasting Network. They're sometimes below Oracle, but sometimes a little above. They feature conspiracy theory, Save the Republic, finance and survivalism, plus hucksterism. Well, all of them have hucksterism. But not to be outdone by Oracle, they have John Stokes, who also features himself as The Edge. I guess The Edge has gotten to be a pretty popular slogan. Now, John Stokes is someone not to be believed, friends. Now, then following that is Rents. I always thought Rents was much higher in the ratings than it is, but it isn't. So there you go. What does Rents have? Conspiracy theory, extraterrestrial information, and of course, finance, gold and silver. When we talk about finance, we're talking about gold and silver or some of the latest, news that they put on, from the regular news programs. There's another one called Free Talk Live. I don't know much about this. They're much further down in the ratings. And I think, are they libertarian? I'm not sure. Then there's VOR, our own Voice of Reason, where we have no conspiracy theory, no hucksterism, and no listeners. Now, I don't want Mike to get mad at me for saying that, but as I just want to reply to you again, or report to you again that there's never a crowd on the leading edge. I got some email this week that was enlightening, I thought, that I'm going to share a little bit of it before I get going with the gist of my program. And somebody wrote to me and said, here I'm going on Oracle again, said, Carolyn, today on another show on Oracle, the host, and it turns out this was the Solution Revolution with Nemo DeNovo, claimed Hitler made the quote below, so I asked for his source, and he posted it, and what do you know? It was the only site that had this ludicrous quote. I was talking about this before, about finding things that are, when you track down the source, you find there is one place, and it's not viable or legitimate, and everybody else that might have it comes from this one place. And he says this quote that was attributed to Hitler was, give me the mind of a child of four, and he'll be mine for life. Gee, where is this? What does that remind you of? You know, yes, if you're familiar with very much, you'll know that that is supposed to be attributed to the Catholic Church and some popes that said their whole philosophy was, give me a child until the age of seven, and he'll be ours for life. And I think that is correct. I think that's accurate. I mean, I think it's authentic. I don't know where it first came from, but you know, when I saw this, I knew what it was. But he says, this writer says, there are several hosts on Oracle that make these absurd claims while pointing out the Jewish problem, yet they will criticize Alex Jones for not mentioning the Jews. Jones does the same lame Hitler claims the Oracle hosts do. So in them, I see only half-truths when addressing the problem, and that makes them no better than Jones. Well, he wrote more than that, but I'll stop with that. I thought that the fact that this person, this radio host over there, is giving a quote like this and attributing it to Adolf Hitler, and he has no idea whatsoever, so we have to ask, why is there this interest in doing this? And as he points out, there's several hosts on Oracle that are doing that. Now, another emailer told me about Dennis Fetcho. That's the guy that I mentioned earlier, the new host on Oracle. And he said that Dennis was telling a whole bunch of lies when he was a guest on Charles Giuliani's program today. He listed a whole bunch of them, kind of wild claims about himself being, really somebody pretty fantastic if they would be true, which they couldn't possibly be true. But it turns out that Fetcho is a Jew. Did I already say that? I don't remember, but he sent this picture, and there's no doubt about it from the picture. Now, Charles Giuliani, who had this Dennis Fetcho on his show this morning, I believe it was, can tell a Jew from looking at his picture, he says. He always can tell you who's a Jew and who isn't because he knows from looking at him. So he should have looked this guy up and seen so he would have not put him on the on his program. But since they're both on the same network, maybe he just thought he was safe with that, or maybe he doesn't care. And in fact, Oracle has a number of Jewish hosts, by the way. Now, another email I got, a listener from Germany wrote, and I'm going to write his praise here. I mean, speak about his praise here. Probably your best program, he said, speaking of last week's program, because you addressed the race issue agenda so specifically. After saying a few more things about that, he said, your program is the best on the internet, and you are a great thinker. Not much I can add to your ideas, thoughts, except that you should speak more often about race and the importance of it. Well, thank you, listener, and I might do that. Now, one last letter, which contains an important message, is I want to read the whole thing from this good listener. Hi, Carolyn. I want to thank you for opening my eyes about Adolf Hitler. I have been a non-believer in the Holocaust for several years, but until listening to you, I didn't realize that disproving the gas chambers would accomplish nothing if tomorrow the Jews admitted would accomplish nothing, period. Okay, sorry. If tomorrow the Jews admitted there had been a terrible mistake and 6 million had not been murdered, they would tell us it didn't matter because of all the other terrible things they suffered at the hands of Hitler. How revisionists on one hand can say Jews lied about the gas chambers, and on the other say that we believe everything they say about Hitler, is hard to believe. This is not meant to be disrespectful to these brave people, but surely they realize that unless Hitler and the Nazi Party are rehabilitated, all their work is for naught. Hope you keep bringing up this point on your shows, as a lot of average folks like me have not connected the dots. Best wishes. Well, this is good information for those who have been saying recently, and who can, you know, well, we hear it, you know, on a regular basis, that we can drop the Holocaust, or we can especially drop the Hitler issue and just forget about that, and go ahead and prove that the Holocaust was did not take place the way they say. Let's get some Holocaust truth, and that will take care of everything. And I do talk about that some, and I was really glad to see that somebody noticed it and appreciated it. Now, I want to remind you that this is a two-hour program. Now, in the second hour, I'll have open phone lines, and I invite you to call in. The toll-free number is 1-855-477-2283, but don't call in until the second hour. Okay, I'm now going to visit one more time the subject of Charles Giuliani. I spoke about him last week, but I wasn't able to I decided I would play some clips from those programs to get it out once and for all. And the reason that I remember now why I'm doing this, because last week after I had my last Heretics Hour program on Monday, and on Tuesday morning, Deanna Spingola was a guest on Charlie Giuliani's program on Oracle Broadcasting. And, of course, I don't listen to him, but somebody sent me an email and informed me about it. So I went and listened to it in the archives. And I came up again on Charlie's agenda. And it was because, though, he may have referred to me as that difficult person or something like that before this, but two callers called in and they brought up the subject of Carolyn Yeager and that Charles should really apologize or should reach out and try to make up. And because I did mention him last week on my program on Monday. So on Tuesday with Deanna, this came up. They called into his show. And then he made quite a lot of comments one more time, and this just irritated me. So I said, well, I'm going to have to do more about this, and then I'll be done with it. So I hope this won't drive any of you listeners away, because I'm going to try to make it as entertaining and instructive as I can. I'm kind of rushing along here because I want to fit all this in and not use up my entire program. But I'm going to play five clips, and the first four clips I'm going to play are of Charlie ranting on Friday, September 2nd, which is 2 days after I was a guest on his program. 2 days after I was a guest, he was still ranting about me. None of these clips are from Thursday, which is he started ranting, but that was bad enough. But I found that on Friday, he not only said worse things, but he also talked about exactly what it was that I said that he found so appalling and just terrible, insulting to him, terribly insulting to him. And this was on Friday. So I'm playing four of these clips from Friday. And then at the end, I will play what I actually said on the program and how it went on the program for you to compare with the way Charlie is characterized it the 2 days after when I was not there. So, all right, let's please play clip number one, which is the beginning of the Friday program.
One final, and I do mean final word on, the the Carolyn thing. I guess she won't be coming on. I was still going to have her on, but she won't be. She's all bent out of shape because, what I said on my show yesterday. Of course I'm going to, after stepping back with hindsight and reviewing some of the things that were said, of course I'm going to respond to that. You know, she's not mature enough to admit that she was overbearing, obnoxious, insulting, belittling, and apologize for her despicable behavior. Then, sorry. I'm not going to say sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I don't owe an apology. She owes an apology. Rude and obnoxious. Talking over me. Talking over, and I mean talking over. I did go back yesterday and listen to the archive. And things were fine until the last half hour or so. My problem with her is not her message, folks. It's her delivery. She has an obnoxious, cantankerous, freaking personality. And, you don't want to come on my show, fine. Quite frankly, I don't want you on anyway. Take your attitude and shove up your ass. It turns out, guys, she probably is right. I looked at my sources, even for the occult thing. And I checked them out last night, and I'm not ashamed to admit when I'm wrong or potentially wrong. And I didn't even realize the sources I cited about Hitler's occultic involvement was from a Jew. The book was written by a Berg, something Berg, I forget now. I was quite surprised. I didn't even realize that at the time when I was researching for that. So, the source for the quotes from Aldous Huxley came from that guy's book. I thought it was a direct source from something he himself had written down, Huxley. No, it's not directly from Huxley. It's a quote attributed to Huxley. Well, that doesn't mean anything. So, she's probably right. I'd be interested further to hear what she has to say. However, because of her freaking outrageous, intolerable attitude, the hell with it. I will look into the matter, though, from other sources and probably present them in the future. There's some great Barnes Review articles on the matter. I'll probably cover that in the future, but... No, I don't want to hear from her anymore.
All right. Notice how he says he wants to invite me back, but after I told him I would never come back on his show, after his talking about me after, in the days afterward, he switches to, I'll never have her on again. This is typical of Charlie's switch around, go anywhere he feels like at the moment mind. This is what he calls having an open mind. He can be persuaded of anything. Now, clip number 2 is actually a commercial that Charlie runs often several times during his daily show. And it's a commercial for Mike Anthony's Huckster products that he probably gets a cut in. And because he's selling them all the time. And this is an example of real Hucksterism, folks. Please play clip number 2.
Hi folks, this is Charlie Giuliani here from the Truth Hurts Show. I'm here to tell you about my friend Mike Anthony, who has a great line of affordable herbal products. His products cover every known ailment under the sun. My personal favorite is Rapid Heal. Not only will it rapidly heal any injury you might be suffering from, internal or external, but it also serves as a great painkiller. He's also got a formula called System Toner, which can help you maintain your health on a daily basis, enabling your organs to function properly and provide many nutrients that aren't readily available in the average diet today. He's got what's called Dragon Juice that gives you energy healthfully, naturally. He's got another blend called Infection Killer, Cancer Blaster, you name it, it goes on and on. He's also got Herbal Teas, an arthritis formula. So give him a call today, folks, at 845-231-1094. Again, that's 845-231-1094, and tell him I sent you.
Okay, well, that's his friend Mike Anthony, who calls into the program regularly, and he called me when I was on that Wednesday, which was August 31st, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd want to go and listen to it. He called in and tried to attack me on various angles without good information. Well, he may have thought it was good. He wasn't as bad as that first caller that I'm going to be covering a little bit later on when I do the clip from when I was on. But now let's go to an 8-minute clip. I'm doing this long because I don't want to be accused of picking up little things and saying, well, this is how it went and leaving out the rest. So I'm putting in the whole context, eight and a half minutes to 16 and a half minutes into the program. Now in this portion, Charles says he doesn't want to play up this dispute, but then he goes on for this 8 minutes. And remember, this is 2 days after the program, reading my email to him and going in, and then he gets into an emotional tizzy from there. Now he goes entirely off subject, saying, quote, "I don't have to agree with her," unquote, implying I insisted he agree with me. Not true. Never did I do that. I was simply presenting the source of these filthy rumors that he likes to indulge in. Well, I didn't say that to him, but I was presenting this information in a very normal and proper way and saying there is no evidence for their truth. And now this he then turns into I'm insisting that he agrees with me. Now, he also likes to use as an attack weapon that coming on his program is a great honor. Well, quite the contrary. He's got it backwards. People do him the honor of coming on his show. He doesn't even introduce his guests properly. And when he invites you on in an overly casual way, he doesn't follow up with the phone number. I'm going to run out of time here for playing this clip, I think. But he doesn't follow up with the phone number, the exact time of your time zone, nothing. It's like he doesn't care if you actually call in or not. And you have to call him. He doesn't call you. Now, once again, let's go ahead with this clip number 3, and I don't know if we'll get through the whole thing before the break.
I was debating if I was even going to mention anything about this. It's just not worth the time of day. Not to mention, I don't want this show to degrade into a freaking snowballing circus, like what you had with Alex Jones and John Statmiller a couple of years back, if you guys remember. That son of a bitch! They were yelling back and forth on their shows about each other. And the next thing you know, they're French kissing each other and making up. And you get... that's such friggin' pageantry. It's ridiculous. I think it's all designed just to entertain people. And, I don't have time for that monkey crap. But, I'll just say a few more words because she sent me some real scathing emails. In classic, Carolyn style here, she's got some serious issues. And again, she's got good information. I'm sure a lot of what she said is true and it's worth looking at. But once again, folks, to come across that way, belittling to your host, insulting, I don't have to agree with her on this. It's not the all out most important issue on the planet. The most important issue is exposing the crimes of elite Jew pigs. We don't have to agree on side issues like this. We don't. Why is this so damn important? She takes it so personal. It's a personal vendetta thing of hers. Knock it off. Again, it's like the certain individual who gets all bent out of shape over, it was Flight 77 that hit the Pentagon. If you want to hold on to a pet theory, ridiculous theory like that cannot be proven, no way can that be proven, that's fine. You want to hang on to that, and I'm not going to attack you, but you're going to attack everybody else who doesn't agree with you when there's no way you could ever prove that that was Flight 70. It couldn't possibly have been Flight 77 at the Pentagon. But you see my point. Why people get in a tiffy over minor issues, it's so, divisive. All she did in my show the other day was to, create division and, I should read you some of the emails I got. I got a ton of emails, people telling me how taken aback they were by her display of arrogance and just belittling and two of the emails, the people told me, let me know if you're going to have her back on again, because I won't be tuning in that day. That's how disgusted they were. And it's not what her message was. It's her delivery. It's horrible. If I can use the term, it's extremely unprofessional. You know, there is a time when being unprofessional is called for. I'm all for bashing people if they're being obnoxious. I'm not trying to brag on myself here, but I go out of my way to be patient with people for the most part. If I think that there's, sincerity in them, if I suspect, that they're not.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to take our break. So we broke into this clip, and when we come back from our 5-minute news break, and the news breaks are always interesting, then we will continue with this, and I'll comment on it. Stick with me. There's more to come on the Heretics Hour.
We'll be right back with more on the Heretics Hour. You're listening to VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com.
The Syrian leadership says it's committed to political reforms and peaceful change. Members of Russia's upper house of parliament are on a fact-finding mission to Syria, and they had talks with President Assad after hosting the country's opposition in Moscow here last week. Let's talk more about this and head to Canada. We're joined there by Michelle Chisadovsky from the Centre for Research on Globalisation. Michelle, very good evening to you. Thanks for being on RT International. It was good to see you. Russia
nice
says
to be on the program.
Western powers are piling pressure on the Syrian regime, but turning a blind eye on the other side to atrocities by the opposition. I mean, can Russia and its delegation help shed light on what's really going on, do you think?
Well, first of all, we must clarify what is the opposition. There's an opposition within Syrian civil society, which operates within the confines of the law, and which has also dialogue with the government. And then there's an insurgency which is funded and supported by outside forces. And this insurgency is largely integrated by Islamists. It's a jihadist movement, Salafists, as well as Muslim Brotherhood. And consequently, this insurgency is there to destabilize and create a pretext for responsibility to protect NATO intervention in Syria.
Okay, well, Moscow's saying that the Syrians should resolve the crisis themselves, at least try to, without that external involvement or international pressure in any shape or form where it may come. Do you think the people of Syria can manage without Western involvement, though?
First of all, I think that there's absolutely no justification for any kind of foreign interference modeled on Libya. If there is any kind of action to be taken, it should be taken against the NATO powers which are interfering in the internal affairs of sovereign countries. They have blood on their hands, and they present themselves as humanitarians with a view to ensuring so-called pro-democracy movements in various countries, in this case Syria, when in fact those forces are largely integrated by terrorists. This is well documented. I think what is required in the wake of the Russian delegation's mission is an investigation into the causes and consequences of this insurrection. We have information that NATO headquarters in Brussels and the Turkish High Command are in fact drawing up plans for their first military step into Syria, and we also know that NATO is in fact recruiting mujahideen, jihadists, to assist them in their campaign in these various countries.
So what you're saying, we're, I guess, maybe likely to see a repeat of the...
Let's return to the Heretics Hour, brought to you by VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com. And now here's Carolyn.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're in the last half hour of the first hour. Remember, we've got 2 hours on Heretics Hour now. And we were in the middle of clip number 3 when the break came on. So I'm just going to ask that this clip be picked up where it left off, and then I'll comment some more about it after it's finished.
Not sincere, and they're just being jokesters. I'm going to immediately attack them. And if I'm wrong, I'll apologize later for making a misjudgment. But when somebody attacks for no reason, if you're trying to convince someone that you're right and they're wrong, you're going to be patient with them, understanding. You're certainly not going to insult them, especially early on when you haven't even presented your case yet and they're willing to let you present it. I was going to have her back on again, but all the while she's insulting me before I've even, you know, heard her whole case presented. What the hell crap is that? If someone's willing to give, you know, have me on their show and is being, you know, courteous and what, I'm not going to freaking insult them. So, you know, this will be the last time I'm bringing this up, but I just had to, she sent me actually a couple emails yesterday. Totally insulting, and so of course I'm going to respond. She says, why would I want to come back on your show? Your tirade this morning, meaning yesterday, was disgraceful, disgusting, and very distanced from the truth. Well, you know, I'm going to talk in just a moment about whose performance was disgraceful, disgusting. You know, I won't even say distance from the truth. Again, you know, she may very well be right, but her performance was disgraceful and disgusting. That's why I addressed, you know, the whole matter yesterday on my show. How dare you call me disgraceful and disgusting when you were disgraceful and disgusting on my show the day before? She goes on to say, the truth hurts you, Charlie. Obviously, you've been in your little cubicle at Oracle talking to yourself for too long. You've become a liar with no one to dispute you. If they do, you just hang up on them. What the hell is she talking about here? No one to dispute you? I'm always telling people, call me up, challenge me, go ahead, I dare you. You know, if I'm talking about the corruption of, you know, religion or whatever. Or if people want to challenge me, the leech you pigs are screwing up this planet, you know, go ahead. Call me up. Challenge me. I dare you. What the hell is she talking about? I hang up on people? How many people have I hung up on in the history of being an Oracle, folks? How many people have you heard me hang up on? 2, maybe 3 at best. And it's just because you were being obnoxious pains in the ass. But other than that, how many people? What the hell is she talking about? The truth is, I had every reason to have hung up on her the other day. I didn't hang up on her, and I was still willing to even have her back on, of course. You know, later I went in, I thought about some of the things she said, and I was rethinking that. But I was still willing, as of yesterday, to have her back on. At first I said, no, I don't think I want her, but then, you know, somebody called and said, hey, give her another shot. She, you know, her information is really good. So I figured, okay, yeah, I'll have her back on. But now she's accusing me here of silencing people and hanging up because I don't want to dispute. What the hell are you talking about? The truth hurts me. Once again, guys, you know, she acts like I've committed some immortal offense here because I wasn't agreeing with her on Hitler. It's not an important issue. This is a side issue. Anyway, but you want to talk about disgusting and disgraceful performance? Here's her words verbatim. I took them off of Wednesday's show, went back in the archives. She said, this is another trick. People always say there's ample evidence for this and that, And even you do this, Charles. Now, just a minute. She said, this is another trick. Blah, 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 even you do this. So what is she saying? That when I say there's ample evidence that I'm playing a trick, I'm trying to deceive people? Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't, lady. All right, guys, I don't want to belabor this crap for too long. Just a couple more quotes, and then I want to drop this friggin' matter once and for all. We'll be right back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I know this gets a little tiring, but, you know, notice that Charlie's style is very different from my style. And I really don't, I think he does a lot of projecting, and sometimes he stops, you can tell he's kind of noticing what he himself has just said, that it kind of applies to him more than it applies to the person he's talking about, which in this case is me. But anyway, what I want to point out is that he screams, Hitler is not an important issue. This is a side issue. Hello? I came on the program to talk about his belief that the Nazi party was Jewish. You know, this was very clear between he and I. And so this is nonsense that he puts out himself via his good buddy Mike Anthony and the other of his regular guys in his chat room. And this kind of talk by him that now all of a sudden, this is not even an important issue. He brought up Hitler. I wanted to talk about the National Socialist Party being Jewish and Hitler being a part of that, along with a whole list of other people. And then he wants to get into the Hitler stuff and wants to get into a lot of other questions because he's not interested in this other one, even though I did it properly. He then, now let's go on to what about this? So anyway, this is an example of his sloppy mind that I mentioned above, his sloppy thinking. People like Charles Giuliani and Jim Condit is another one, can't stay on topic because their so-called arguments are based on nothing and they can't defend it. So they jump to something else, usually some large and vague question that they hope to get you lost in. You know, I've been through it with these people. So when I went on that program, I was prepared not to let these things happen to me. Now, about Giuliani saying, getting all upset about this is another trick. Well, it is a trick. It is a trick to talk about ample evidence and never bring forth the evidence. And people do it all the time. And a lot of people are fooled by it because they think if somebody says there's evidence, that's good enough. And Charlie does this. He's got a whole lot of tricks. But maybe some of them are unconscious. I imagine Charlie really does believe that he's not tricky. But sometimes I think he knows exactly what he's doing, and so do other people. But instead of screaming and using four-letter words like crap so often, which he does, he should examine himself and his phraseology. I asked, does he ever listen to himself? Maybe he's listening to this program, or he will listen to it, so then he'll get a chance to listen to himself. He really ought to. All right, I've got another, long 8-minute clip coming up for the end of this. Is clip number 4, which will bring us to the end of this Friday program of his. And so let's play that clip, and then I'll comment on it.
Yeah, how dare she accuse me of being obnoxious, outrageous, whatever the hell word she used. Listen to this. Again, you can go back and listen to the archives for yourself. Statements she made were absolutely uncalled for. I just couldn't believe it. My jaw was dropping. I was almost going to put her on hold because at one point, and I'll describe that in a minute, at one point she dropped a bomb, just totally insulted and belittled me, and then wouldn't let me respond. She was talking over me. I'm like, but wait. She was just loud and obnoxious. I couldn't believe it. It's so rude, guys. I made the comment. I said, I've always been one to have an open mind, and I do. Even now, I have an open mind on the Hitler thing. Like I said, I'm willing to concede. Yeah, the sources I was so sure of, I went back and looked, and the guy who wrote the book that I quoted them from was a Jew. So, you know, that doesn't look very good. But, you know, is she going to concede to being an obnoxious pain in the ass? Of course not. No, she's not going to concede that she did anything wrong when she did. Here's her words, guys. Once again, I'm not quoting out of context. Go listen to it yourself. Wednesday's show. My comment was, I've always been one to have an open mind. She then said, what open mind? Open full of holes, it seems to me. Open-minded when you don't know anything? Fuck you! In plain English, pardon my French. Those strong words are called for in cases like this. Fuck you. You don't go on somebody's show when they're willing to listen to you and have you on again and let you speak your mind and, you know. You do not attack obnoxiously like that. I don't care if everything that comes out of your mouth is the truth. You don't attack like that and be an obnoxious, downright immature, temper tantrum throwing little spoiled brat. And then this was the point when, I was so shocked that she made a statement like that. I tried to respond and she wouldn't let me do it. Go listen. For the next, 10 or 15 seconds, I kept trying to say something and she's just going on and on and on. Unbelievable. She insults me. Then she doesn't let me, she doesn't let me respond. I should have hung up on her right there. Then I said, when you borrow from that source, meaning Jews, you become beholden to them. And then she said this, and how do you stay unbeholden? As long as you're using U.S. Federal Reserve notes. I said, well, I'm not in power. I don't have an empire I'm trying to build. Then she said, oh, this is too ridiculous. You need to understand how the Third Reich functioned financially, which you obviously don't. Again, very belittling. I understand it, but you don't. Whether that's true or not, to make an arrogant ass statement like that, and then think that I was being obnoxious when I responded, rightfully so, yesterday, She insults me, folks. She's belittling and, being an arrogant bitch. And then she turns around and says that I was, No. All right, that's it. I'm done. I'm not saying another word about it. She can take a flying flight on the Franklin freighter. I'm done with that shit, folks. Done. That's it. You want to have an immature attitude and then try to make it look like I have the problem, go straight to hell in a hay basket. All right? That's it. Shut up your ass. Shove your Hitler ass kissing up your ass. And again, guys, whether she's 100% right or not, she's obviously a Hitler ass kisser. I'll never become an ass kisser to anyone. Even if it's true that he was everything she claims, okay, great. I'm glad. I wish you succeeded in your mission, Mr. Adolf Hitler. The world would be a better place if you had. If everything that Yeager says about him is right. But I would never go on a tirade about it, go on somebody's show. If I knew they were fighting against elite Jew pigs like me, I'm going to consider them an ally. I'm not going to want to insult them if they don't agree with me. I'll just say, he's not on board with this aspect of the truth. Maybe someday he will be. And if I'm going to want him to be on board with that aspect of the truth, I'm not going to want to, distance himself from me. I'm hoping that he'll have me on again. I'll be polite to him. I want to do that anyway, unless, the guy's an obnoxious jerk to me. But I certainly, if I want this guy to come around one day and see the light as I do about Hitler, I'm not going to insult him. I'm going to be patient and realize that, things of a controversial nature like this take time. She expects that in 5 or 10 minutes of interviewing her that I'm going to be instantly converted. I'm going to instantly see the things the way she does. No, it takes time. You got to look at the evidence. But there she is insulting me, and she did say, I didn't hear it in the archive, so it must have been during a break. But she did say, well, you obviously don't want the truth. I obviously don't want the truth. When you make a comment like that, why the hell would I want to hear what she has to say, truth or not? You understand my point, folks? So automatically, she's wrong. And that's what I meant yesterday when I said she has no leg to stand on. She has no leg to stand on with her attitude like that. I didn't mean about her point, about Hitler. She probably is right. But like I said, when you have an attitude like that, you've destroyed your credibility. You need to sign up with a shrink and learn how to be a decent, respectful, and respectable human being. And if you can't be that way, then your message, you're get out of doing radio. If you can't talk to, fellow fighters on the same side, what I hope is the same side, if you really are trying to fight elite Jew pigs, if you can't be respectful to someone that you know is doing the same work you are, you're going to insult them? When they're willing to look at your evidence, you haven't even really presented anything yet. Then get out of radio. You're not doing a good service for the cause. You're accomplishing the very opposite. You're creating division. All right, enough of that. Back to the post 9/11 power grab thing. Now there we go. We wasted another half hour of a show on this freaking BS.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's just almost, that's it for that program. And let me just say that, he says F you to me twice in this segment, and he justifies it by accusing me of attacking him simply because I said having an open mind can be a mind full of holes. That's what I said. And that he actually doesn't know anything about the Hitler issue. Well, he doesn't. He speculates a lot. And he's even admitted that he didn't know what he was talking about. But he was insisting, that this kind of thing should be considered that he talks about. Anyway, was I attacking him? No. When you hear what I was saying, you'll recognize that. But he wasn't able to respond at the time. And so what he's feeling is pain in his pride and inflated self-esteem because I think his chat room guys got on him about letting me get the better of him. And all he can do is come back the next day with his 4 and 5 letter words. He also called me the B word the day before quite a few times. And I think he was using the A word on Friday. But anyway, this is a favorite of weak men. Now, Bill Fink, with whom Charlie also made a fool of himself when Bill was a guest on his show back in, I think, in June. Charlie ranted about Bill for 2 days afterward, after Bill was no longer there, just like he did with me. Bill Fink calls men like Charlie girly men. I was on Bill's show this past Saturday night, and he used that, and I think that's, I just had to repeat it here. A girly man is someone who can't stand to have their feelings hurt. It's true. Charlie is ranting and raving for 2 days because his feelings were hurt, because I didn't kiss up to him, because that's what he expects when people come on his program, and because I was not only tougher than him, but because I was right and he was wrong, and that's why I can be tough. I don't think I was really, I didn't mean to be tough, but I was a bit irritated by a number of things that morning. Not least of which was the way he introduced me, which I'm going to mention. But, my gosh, time's almost up already. He was, I'll just pass this by. I'm just going to go ahead instead of saying the rest of these things, because you heard what he said. Shove it up your ASS and things like that, all that. Well, that's what he wants people to do to him. All right, let's play clip number 4 and see if we can get through this. Another long clip.
Let's go to Ed in Louisiana first. Welcome to the show, Ed.
Thank you, Charlie. Thanks for taking my call. Carolyn, I just want to say I've looked into your work, and you've done a lot of work, and you've done a lot of research, but I want to say that in the 70, 80 years since the Nazi era, all of the history from that Nazi era has been changed, revised, and there's no reliable information from that era, first of all. Second of all, the word Nazi, and I mean, everybody wants to say, well, it was just the German Socialist Party. It was just meant the German Socialist Party. No. If you can't conflate Ashkenazi with a Nazi party, then because I know from being in my childhood and my uncles coming back from World War II and telling me what's really going on, I know for a fact that the Ashkenazis are the Germans who are Jews. And all these Steins and these Bergs and the Nazi party was named for the Ashkenazi Jews, and that there is ample.
Wait!
Let me finish. Please let me finish.
You are.
All right, and there is ample.
This is the problem that we have.
Wait, let me finish, and then I'll get offline, and you can make your comments. All right, listen. There is ample evidence that Hitler was sending Jews to Palestine long before World War II. There's ample evidence of that.
Ample evidence without providing evidence. You know?
Let me see. I hope. Did he hang up?
I'm sorry if he's a nice caller of yours, but, you know, let me just say this. First he says, the history's all been changed. You can't depend on a thing. It's all been... See, this is the lie of disinformation. They say there's nothing you can know, so let's just speculate about what we think, you know, and our opinions and so on. The history has not all been changed. There is plenty you can know.
Well, when you said you looked into the whole list and you found that not one of them was Jewish, you know, where did you look to get your sources? You know what I'm saying?
I looked everywhere there was. I looked on the Internet. The only place, there was no place that I found that said that they were Jewish. The only place is this author and some of these sites, I guess, but I haven't gone far enough to come up to those.
In reality, the only way to really know is to actually go over to Germany and go into German
documents. People don't have any evidence. Why don't they? They're the ones who are saying something.
Say you... The Internet, I mean, I do my share of Internet research, too, but that's not always, especially...
Oh, so what you're trying to say is that even though you don't have any evidence, you can say that they are just because you want to say that. When we know who their parents were, you know, they have birth records, church records, all of that stuff, that's what's taken into account in the official biographies of these people. And to say that it's all a lie and this other stuff, you know, that people make up, should be considered to be the truth, is ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. And he's talking about ample evidence. This is another trick. That's all they say. They go on and on. Oh, there's ample evidence for this. Even you do this, Charles. There's ample evidence for that.
Produce the evidence. I wouldn't call it a trick. We know elite Jew pig bastards frig everything up everywhere they go and manipulate.
But, you know, that is not a very... good way to talk about something. But to just say, well, everything's messed up, so let's just talk about theories, that doesn't make sense. That's what I'm really fighting, and it's really a hard battle.
My position has always been to have an open mind and don't cling so, you know, tenaciously to any...
What open mind? Open full of holes, it seems to me. You know, there's a lot of... open-minded when you don't know anything? If you have an open mind, Charles, and you hear things, if you want to know whether it's true or not, you have to look into it. You can't just keep an open mind and the idea that comes along.
You sound like a religious person who's so convinced and...
I might, because you know what? I have to deal with this kind of stuff that people are saying without ever providing 1 ounce of real evidence. Not one bit of it. And I haven't heard a bit of it yet.
All right. And that was I didn't really introduce that part of the clip, right? We're almost at the break, but I can tell you that was... the section of the program with me at the end of towards the end of my guest program with Charlie Giuliani, and this was really the part that he cited as all my horrible insults and screaming, etc. Now, did you hear me screaming? Did you hear me hurling horrible insults at Charlie? Did you hear any of this stuff? I don't think so. I got a little forceful there at the end, because when people come up to me with this stuff, that is my way of dealing with it. But I don't think there is anything that I am at all ashamed of. But I think Charlie should be ashamed. And I will continue with this, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back for our second hour.
We'll be right back with more on the Heretics Hour. You're listening to VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com.
From FSN, I'm Kate Moody with the latest world news. President Barack Obama has laid out his proposal to cut the U.S. budget deficit by more than $3 trillion over the next decade. About half of those savings would come from new tax revenue, and the rest from cuts in government spending and reform to entitlement programs. His plan would increase taxes on the wealthiest Americans and impose a special new tax on millionaires, something Republicans have vowed to oppose.
I reject the idea that asking a hedge fund manager to pay the same tax rate as a plumber or a teacher is class warfare.
But President Obama promised to veto a deficit plan that doesn't include an increase in tax revenue.
I will not support any plan that puts all the burden for closing our deficit on ordinary Americans. And I will veto any bill that changes benefits for those who rely on Medicare but does not raise serious revenues by asking the wealthiest Americans or biggest corporations to pay their fair share.
A bipartisan congressional supercommittee has been charged with reducing the deficit by $1.5 trillion. It's not obliged to accept the president's plan. Fighting has erupted in Yemen's capital for a second day after months of stalemate between security forces and anti-government protesters. Medical officials said at least 23 people were killed on Monday, bringing the death toll from 2 days of fighting in Sana'a close to 50. Tens of thousands of people have taken to the streets calling on President Ali Abdullah Saleh to step down. Saleh, who's ruled Yemen for 33 years, is recovering from injuries in Saudi Arabia but has resisted pressure to hand over power. Rescue efforts are underway across isolated Himalayan regions in India, Nepal, and Tibet after a magnitude 6.9 earthquake struck the area on Sunday. The epicenter was the northern Indian state of Sikkim, where the Indian government says at least 35 people have been killed. But the relief effort there has been hampered by rainfall and landslides, and it's feared that the death toll could rise. Libya's interim leaders have indefinitely postponed the naming of a new government while their forces struggle to consolidate control of the country. Clashes have continued in areas still loyal to Muammar Gaddafi, including his birthplace of Sirte and the town of Bani Walid. Meanwhile, hundreds of Libyans arrested by Gaddafi forces are reported to be missing. Judge Philippe Kirsch, a member of the International Commission of Inquiry on Libya, said the disappearances are the latest in a series of alleged human rights violations.
It is alleged that those forces arbitrarily arrested and detained hundreds of Libyans at checkpoints in and around Tripoli and other localities. The whereabouts of many of those detained is unknown. It is reported also that at least 19 detainees have died of suffocation in metal containers during June 2011.
The UN has already approved Libya's interim leaders to participate in this week's General Assembly meeting in New York. There'll be more on that from our team in New York, as well as video, audio, and analysis on our blog, fsnreportersblog.com. This is FSN.
We'll be right back.
Let's return to the Heretics Hour, brought to you by VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com. And now here's Carolyn.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the second hour of the Heretics Hour, and this is the call-in hour, so I will repeat the phone number. It is 1-855-477-2283. 1-855-477-2283. They say you need to keep repeating these numbers for people, but you're welcome to call in and talk about anything since we don't have a guest tonight. My guest was Mike Clips, and I'm going to say a few more words about that. You know, that last clip, which I didn't, as I said, I didn't quite introduce it properly, but that was the last, that was 5 minutes towards the end of that 2 hour show. And up until the time we took that call from Ed in Louisiana, which was the very first caller, there was no problem whatsoever. There may have been everything that Charles complained about, both on Thursday and on Friday following my guest appearance, took place in those last minutes. There were two more callers, and that was a little bit, not the best either. But these callers, both Ed and the last caller, which was his friend Mike Anthony, the one that makes the cancer buster, he sells the cancer busters and the jungle juice and stuff. That is, he was also very, he was also trying to, well, how do I put it? Put down my information, which I did present. Charles says she didn't even get her, she didn't even present her information. I did present my information. I don't know what he thought it was supposed to be, but you know, I did present it, and nobody, he couldn't, respond to it. So he, you know, pretends like there was nothing there, I guess. But both these guys wanted to attack my information, but they did so in a very dishonest way. And I only did the Ed from Louisiana call because I can't do all of this. But that was the one that contained, though, that clip contained all those things that, that Charlie said he objected to so much that I was insulting him. That was the extent of my so-called insults. So, and as I said, I was a little irritated right from the beginning of that program, but I tried to get over it. And I was really very gracious, even though he did such a poor job of introducing me, in which he mispronounced my name and didn't say anything about me. And, you know, he does that. He's, it's not just me. He does the same thing to everyone. He has no couth. He is, I think, as you can tell, uncouth. And he treated, when he had William Fink on last June, William Fink gave, presented his material, his, you know, his very good material about Christian identity. And Charles was asking him questions and so on. And he never failed to answer anything. And it wasn't until the next day that he got on and started attacking William Fink as a racist and so on and so forth, which he didn't come up with until the very end of his program with William, when some callers called in and attacked William too, because he has these kind of people that call in his show. Yes, I will take callers now. I have a little thing I can say. I'm going to do it. Before we take, if there's a caller on the line, I'm going to, though, mention something that I came across when reading a book by Nicholas von Bello, who was Hitler's Luftwaffe adjutant, in his book At Hitler's Side, about Italians as fighters. Because I was talking about how Charles can only fight when the other person is not there. And he starts using his four-letter words, but when the person is there, he can't do it because he has no argument. Anyway, on page 168 of this book, At Hitler's Side, Nicholas von Bello writes, as for Sicily, course, this is well into the Second World War, and of course, the Italians were the allies to the Germans, but they really did very little to help the fighting situation. And so, Bonvello is saying, writing, as for Sicily, he, Hitler, thought that Italian forces would fight better when actually defending Italy. I expressed my negative opinion of Italian troops. I did not imagine there was even one Italian division capable of making a stout resistance for any length of time. Above all, the Italian officer corps was not up to it. Hitler was angry when he thought of the uselessness of the Italians. Basically, the Italian forces did not want to fight. They would rather throw away their arms and go over to the enemy en masse. And today was better than tomorrow to do it. Now, you know, of course, Charlie is Italian, and I don't mean to insult the Italians. I'm always being accused of insulting people, I guess. But in this case, you know, it may be for some people that they don't like the comparisons, and so they another reason why they want to bring Hitler down and insult Hitler. Well, let's see what we've got here in the way of callers. The first caller, I think there's two of them anyway, the first caller just come on. Hello.
Carolyn?
Yes.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. What's your name?
This is Steve from California. I've emailed you several times.
Yes, you have.
And whatnot, and we've discussed a few situations. I mean, you know, and information that I uncovered, and the one in particular was, you know, the financial Reich or the Fourth Reich that, you know, people claim that Germany was had created, and you know that they were that's the foundation for the EU and whatnot. But you know, as far as on this Charles Giuliani, you know, I mean, you know, I think he let his temper and whatnot get the best of him because he just kept going on and on. I mean, if you don't want to burn bridges, then you know, you say your piece and then you let it go, or maybe you should have, you know, maybe addressed you after the show or something.
Well,
you know,
sure.
Rather than just go off on the tirade, because, I mean, I was listening to his show that following day, and it was like he's going, okay, enough of this, enough of this, enough of this, but then he would keep going and going and going. Before you know it, he didn't get to anything of his regular scheduled show.
Obviously, I've heard Charlie do this on other occasions now, and I see that Charlie just doesn't have control of himself, and then he accuses others of really his own faults. Talk about burning bridges. I have burned that bridge, and that's why, you know, I have no intention of ever making up with Charles Giuliani. And I didn't even know Charles Giuliani. I was on his program once before, and I had no bad feelings toward him. You know, Steve, I actually didn't have a good feeling about going on his show because I had just been canceled at RBN, and he asked me to come on, and I thought, well, I don't want to go on, you know, under those, you know, to sit and talk about RBN. I knew he wanted to talk about that. And
right.
But then I listened to one of his shows, and that's when I heard that fellow talk say what he did, one of his regular guests, Dave, I think he was from Florida, talk about National Socialist Party being Jewish. I thought, well, I'd like to go on and talk about that. So I said that to Charles, and he said, well, fine, you know, and so, you know, when you want to come on. So I went ahead and did it. But I kind of wish now I didn't, because knowing the kind of show he has and what goes on there and the kind of people he has in his chat room, a lot of them who are really pushing an agenda that to me is a Jewish agenda. And I wonder if they're Jews or what their agenda is. I really don't know. I don't understand what this is that so many of these internet people and talk show people. And there's more of them. There's more of them on Oracle. I have found out from some people who have talked to me, than I knew, who are constantly putting out this stuff to lies. I mean, they're lies about Hitler and the National Socialists and Third Reich Germany. They're lies. I don't mind if they don't like it, you know, if they want to criticize it. If they would do it, you know, with something that was real and real evidence, but they just put out foolish lies like that Hitler quote that, give me a child until the age of four and I'll have him for life. How? What nonsense.
Oh, yeah. You know, whenever I hear these quotes, and you know, and I immediately search for them. And a lot of times when you do a Google search, you know, you will come up with, you know, because it goes in order of, you know, like what fits, you know, the best fit. And as you go from page to page, you know, it kind of gets scattered about. So
that's right.
When you see, you know, every word of that quote highlighted, then you know that that's pretty much one of the sources. And in that particular quote, there was one. It was just one page that, you know, that quoted, you know, that actually cited that. And when I went there, there was nothing there to say where they got that information from. So I'm sitting here going, okay, so, you know, I try to search it different ways, and then I found, you know, I found that one about the 7-year-old, and I'm saying, well, you know, to me, that kind of says that, you know, somebody to kind of twist the truth against about Hitler decided that they were going to kind of change it around a little bit, and, hey, we'll just attribute this to Hitler. Mm-hmm. You know, because for the problem that we have right now is people want to believe that, okay, they don't believe in the Holocaust, and they know that we were lied into World War II, you know, so they'll believe that part of it, but they keep this Hitler, how would you call it, a fairy tale, fable, or whatever, you know, they want to keep that alive.
He has to be evil. He has
right.
to be the destroyer of Germany. Who is it that wants Hitler to be seen as the destroyer of Germany?
The Jews.
And yep. This is why we have to ask, why do we find it all over figures in on the internet, even in the 9/11 truth movement? You find it everywhere that people go out of their way to make these anti-Nazi comments, and also this Mike Anthony was trying to make the case, and he did it when Veronica Clark was on, the day after Deanna was on. Somebody told me about that too. So that's why I listened to both those programs. And people are trying to make that case. Why is this so popular? It's all over Veterans Today. That's what got me suspicious about Veterans Today. It's all over the place.
Right. If I could remember the date, there was a day there where Mike really irritated Charles, and Mike just basically, I mean, Charles just basically, you know, told him, you know, don't call back, don't call my show again, you know, and it was kind of like, you know, and then all of a sudden I think they made up somewhere down the road, but, you know, most of the people in the chat room don't like Mike. But then I was in the chat room.
Well, I think they're in business together, Steve, because, that's why I played that commercial, because it runs on Giuliani's show several times every show, and
right.
and he's doing that with, he says, I think they're partners in that in some way. I don't know if Mike pays him, or maybe Mike pays him to run that ad, and then that means it's a money source for him. So you know, all these things work when money gets involved in it. Then you don't know what people really do believe, because they're being paid to say things.
The one other point I wanted to make was when that caller, Ed, called in, okay, when mm-hmm. you know, as a listener, I'm listening, okay, to the show. His voice came through so loud that actually it left you no option other than to try to, you know, speak up, because, you know, really at first I couldn't even hear you because mm-hmm. his voice was so mm-hmm. overpowering. So I don't know if that was purposely done.
Yeah, I noticed that tonight. He was very loud.
Yeah.
And you know, what really got me about him when he said, my uncles, I know this. He said, I know that the Ashkenazis were the Nazis.
He said for a fact. He said he knows it for a fact.
For a fact, because his uncles came back from World War One, two, and they told all about it. They knew all about it. How are soldiers in the army or something going to know all that about?
Right.
They don't know that. That was so stupid.
And it's hearsay.
It's made up. You know, yeah. And you know, the thing to contrast that with is with Holocaust survivors who talk about their family, you know, being murdered and this and that, or what they know about this because some family member told them, or they, you know, all this stuff, which is just lies. And this just, I get irritated with this. Sorry. You know, I thought when I went on that program, I guess I knew, there would be opposition. But when you're confronted with stuff like this, I just can't tolerate it. I admit I can't.
Well, it irritates me.
Oh,
you know, I now, you know, since in the last 10 years, you know, with all the demonization that the United States does of, you know, other world leaders and whatnot, you know, that's what led me into, you know, into kind of like, you know, World War II and past stuff, you know, because then you have to start wondering, well, you know what, if they lied about this guy, then, you know, what were they, you know, were they lying then? Well, our media was kind of controlled, and you could see through history where, you know, different prominent people, you know, congressmen and whatnot, would speak up about the Jewish problem, you know, and how they controlled a lot of stuff, and, you know, here in this country. And what I always try to point out to people, I said, look, you know what, If the media is dishing out propaganda now, then they were dishing it out then. So you can't have one foot in and one foot out of looking for the truth. You have to kind of take and throw everything out that you were ever told and start over. It's a long trip, but you know you have to do that. You can't hold on to some propaganda and say, well, this is it.
Well, so. That's very wise. You're speaking very wisely, Steve, and you're very calm and all, and I appreciate that.
I value the information that you give and whatnot, and you and Deanna and Veronica Clark, and you know, and I didn't see anything wrong with what you did on Charles' show.
Well, I don't either. I mean, I'm a little bit more reactive than maybe the average person, but I don't think I certainly didn't go anywhere like the way Charlie described it. And if Charlie would have said something the next day, you know, but and then let it go to defend himself or whatever, that would have been fine. But when I listened to what he actually did say, I was just amazed. He talks about his jaw dropping. My jaw dropped. I thought, I can't believe he's on the radio, you know, internet radio, but still saying all these things. What's wrong with him? And I think it makes him look very bad. I think it goes back on him. And a lot of people have told him that he's made a mistake with all this, but he won't admit that. And it may seem like I am mean to have played all this up, but you know, I just think people shouldn't get away with stuff like this.
He didn't play any clips.
No, he didn't. And you know, anybody can play clips of me, and if they want to, I mean, I might not always sound real great, but I'm not going to be upset if somebody plays a clip of mine. When you go on the radio, and it's archived, anybody can pick it up and use it. So I don't feel bad about doing it. He should watch what he's talking about. He doesn't. Right. I don't think he has any idea how he sounds.
No.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know. It's just.
Well, I would like here's another thing, a way that I would that I justify in my mind why I've gone done so much with this tonight is that I've been looking at the. Well, the internet truth movement,
right?
You know, that truth movement, alternative, and so on, quite a bit. You know, I feel like that isn't really what I started out to do, which was just pure revisionism, World War II era, including Holocaust revisionism. But I've gotten into this, and I find from the reaction to my programs that this is people like this very much because they want these things to be exposed. They want these things to be talked about. And we have, I think, this what I've been calling disinformation, but also could be, you know, agents or PSYOP and so on all over the internet is a real problem. It's a tremendous problem because people are listening to say someone like Charles Giuliani. Now, he may just be intellectually challenged, but he may be also doing some of this for a reason. There are people who think so. I haven't come to that conclusion, but people need to not just be taking in all this stuff without somebody pointing out a different viewpoint of it, I think. So that's what I'm doing.
I hear more things about Hitler than bad things about Hitler in the alternative media than I heard in my whole life on the mainstream. And it's really, it's...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Really, you have to go to the History Channel to hear it on the mainstream and most of the time, but on alternative. And I don't know. I think it has grown since I've been paying attention to this. I don't know if it was... I don't think it was there like this back... the whole alternative and truth movement has grown. It has grown a lot. And with it, this has come along with it. And I think it's being seeded in there by the opposition to do it. Looks like I've got some more callers, Steve. And
One quick thing. I had an email going back and forth with this gal that wrote about the TSA. And when I confronted her with this, about the Hitler thing and whatnot and the Nazis, this and that. And when she goes, well, that's how I choose to get my point across. Mm-hmm. So whether it's true or not, you're going to use that.
Yeah. Well,
and
I couldn't
believe it.
Gordon Duff said the same thing in an email to someone, and they sent it to me. When he answered why he was bashing the Nazis in some article he wrote where it had really nothing to do with it. And he said, you have to talk to people where they're at or something like that. You have to use language that people understand. I think that was more like it.
And you know, this is the same thing.
Yeah. So it's just a favorite whipping boy, and they think they make points with certain people. Well, I think it should get a lot of investigation. And I'm trying to do a little bit of it, and I really appreciate that you've woken up to the whole problem and you're looking at it. So anything more you can send my way, please do.
I will do, Carolyn. You have a good evening.
Okay, you too.
Thank you.
Well, let's see. I think we have some more callers. Who's next up?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, hello.
My mind just drew a blank here. Carolyn. This is David.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm fine. I just when you went to the, I didn't think anyone was going to answer. I just dropped some money. But anyways, hey, how's the show going?
Well, it's going all right. You can't listen to it, I guess, huh?
I was on a train. I was on a train. Have you been talking about Giuliani?
Yes, I did the whole first section. I don't want to go over the whole show with you because everybody else who's listening has heard it. So what is it that you want to bring up?
Yeah. So I wasn't able to hear the show. I was on a train. I just got off the train, but. No, I've been listening to I call him Julie Giuliani, but I've been listening to his archive shows, Carolyn, and what a hypocrite that guy is. He's talking about your delivery, and your message might be okay, but your delivery is awful, and then he's implying that you have, he actually said this, that the way your delivery and you're so obnoxious that you have the characteristics he says you have the characteristics of an elite Jew pig yourself, Carolyn. That's what he said.
I I didn't hear that. I played some clips from his show 2 days after I was on, and a little one from when I was on. But I'm sure he said a lot of things that I, worse even, you know, that I haven't heard. But Dave, we have to go to a break now, and then we'll come up with our last half hour. So you might not want to stay on. I really appreciate your calling. And,
is there any way I can listen to the show over my cell phone?
You'll have to talk to the producer when the break comes on and ask him.
Okay. Well, I just wanted you to know that it was me that was emailing you, Carolyn. Did you find the ticket?
We'll be right back with more on The Heretics Hour. You're listening to VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com.
In Libya, volatile situations show no sign of abating a month after Colonel Gaddafi was ousted from power. The country's interim leaders are struggling to form a cohesive cabinet while their forces remain locked in battle with Gaddafi's remaining supporters. Defiant loyalists are making a last stand in three key cities. Sirte, Bani Walid, and Sabha have been under heavy assault for more than a week, with reports Gaddafi and his sons could be hiding out there. Meanwhile, the rest of the country is reeling from months of civil war that's left tens of thousands dead. Ongoing NATO airstrikes have also reportedly killed a number of civilians by mistake, but some Western leaders are now facing charges at home over the military intervention. Just a warning, you may find some of the images in Daniel Bushell's report disturbing.
French ex-Foreign Minister Roland Dumas says he's ready to defend Muammar Gaddafi in the International Criminal Court, which has issued a warrant for his arrest. But NATO will have to find the colonel first. Libya's deposed leader is in hiding for good reason.
If we find him, they'll kill him, like bin Laden. Some states are now claiming the right to kill against all international law.
Images like these are moving French lawyers to turn against their government.
Nicolas Sarkozy faces lawsuits over the deaths of ordinary people in Libya. Lawyers here in France accuse the president of committing crimes against humanity.
This lawyer calls the Libyan war a new Vietnam, where the US sprayed tens of millions of liters of toxins on crops in the 60s and 70s, causing brain disorders, miscarriages and birth defects to this day.
Mais ça... Ça provoque des cancers.
They're using missiles with depleted uranium, which causes cancer. In Tripoli, I saw people crippled by NATO attacks, office workers who have nothing to do with the fighting. That's why we're suing President Sarkozy for crimes against humanity.
NATO first denied bombing this residence, where 13 civilians, including 4 children, died. It then called the place a military command center. This journalist went to see what it really housed.
Books, video Spider-Man, toys and cultural books and everything. Nothing military.
In another attack, Khalid Olawidi's wife, child and grandchildren were reportedly killed in their home. NATO's accused of deliberately waging a campaign of terror.
Their bombings targeted Libya's electricity, water and food supply. After 5 months of deadly NATO bombs and thousands of deaths, people will stop supporting the regime because they simply cannot take it anymore.
Western leaders are poised for their first big legal challenge over Libya. If they stop the cases coming to court altogether, adds Ciccoldi, it will prove once and for all that Western justice really is run by politicians, not the rule of law.
Let's return to the Heretics Hour, brought to you by VOR, ReasonRadioNetwork.com. And now here's Carolyn.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are now at the last half hour of our program tonight, and we've had a couple of callers, and I want to comment on Dave, who called in right before the break. I always think that he's a good guy. He needs to be quiet. He's listening on the phone, but he's trying to talk. He called in to a couple of programs on RBN, and he tries to call in to Charles Giuliani, and he's always coming to my defense. He's a big fan, and I appreciate his sentiments, and I appreciate him, and I think he's a real truthful guy. Now, for the last half hour here, I want to go into a couple of stories that I think kind of fit well, and I want to change the subject a little bit, but yet these still fit in with the idea of the Jewish agenda. And the one is the Jewish Museum in Berlin, which is marking its 10th anniversary in Berlin. You know, it's real tough for me to see what goes on in Germany, so much of it is centered in Berlin. Now, you know, they have a Jewish museum. They have millions of Jewish things in Berlin. Hundreds of Jewish buildings and structures and so on for one thing or another for Jews. And if this Jewish museum that they built is now 10 years old, and so they're having a celebration. And what are they celebrating? What does it mean to be German? Okay? And now they're going to answer the question, what does it mean to be German? They're hosting a string of artistic events and throwing a birthday bash. Now, my comment is Jews cannot know what it means to be German. They are not German, and this is unacceptable. But, of course, I have these racialist views, and I have these anti-Jewish views, and so not everybody, you know, agrees with that. But, of course, Jews want to own everything, and so they want to own Germany, and they want to own being German. So they're going to decide what it means to be German. Of course, they're speaking for themselves, but some of the points that I noticed in this is that they're going to, with their exhibits and events, they're going to re-examine racial issues in the modern era. Naturally, they're always talking about racial issues and race because they consider themselves a racial minority. Here's a quote. They're looking... Dave is making too much noise in the background. He needs to be quiet. So they're looking at local history and geography and asking, how German is it? They're going to expand the questions of identity and belonging. Questions of identity and belonging. For me, now here's Silly Kugelman, program director of the Berlin Jewish Museum. She says, for me, this question has a lot to do with Jewish history. Oh, yes. Well, of course, we have to look at Jewish history, not German history. Minorities, she goes on to say, are extremely sensitive for psychological and nationality-related subjects, which is what we need to examine. And then another one, Margaret Kedding, project manager of the special exhibit, said that while collecting works for the exhibit over the past 10 years, the museum carefully selected artists with a Jewish background. Well, naturally, it's the Jewish Museum exhibit. Then Kampmeyer Kedding said the architects responsible for the exhibit space took inspiration from architect Daniel Libeskind's zigzag museum design. Changing floor angles and slanted walls should force visitors to constantly reevaluate the art from a different perspective, she said. This is a Jewish design, Jewish architect who designed this building, and it's one of these super modern, odd looking things that don't fit into the landscape. They look like something that dropped down from outer space, you know. And I have not, of course, been in this building, but I wonder if it means that they really do have in this building, because there are Jewish museums that do use this. This is very popular with Jews, changing floor angles and slanted walls, you know, so that you are totally disoriented when you're in there. And this is what they want. This is supposed to force you to see things in a new way or something. This all sounds like it fits very well with cultural Marxism, which it does. Now, the other thing here is that amongst their events, they're going to have a symposium exploring the relationship between Jews, Turks, and other Germans, and then a birthday party for the museum that will be open to the public. Now, notice how they say that. They're going to explore the relationship here in Germany between Jews, Turks, and other Germans. This is really sinister stuff. It's a German nation, but they are just other Germans. What they mean here is German Jews, German Turks, and other Germans. Dagmar Barno, she wrote some books, and I read one of her books. She's dead now, but she died not too long ago, and she died a little bit early and suddenly, so she wasn't that old. But I don't know what she was, an academic, and I'm not sure what her exact field is called. But she looked into Germany, and she was trying to be more honest, but she still was under the need to go along with all the Jewish stuff. But I learned in her book that Germans in Germany, it developed, let's say, maybe not in the 50s, maybe not even in the 60s, but by the 70s and 80s, or by the 80s and the 90s, that Germans were, the term for Germans were, this is shocking. Jewish Germans and non-Jewish Germans. This is what they called it. They didn't say Germans and then there's Jewish Germans. No, you had to say Jewish Germans and non-Jewish Germans in order to please the Jews. I guess the Jews got that worked out and enforced that in the academic circles. And, this is just something I thought I'd throw in there with this story. Now, another thing I want to talk about that just came to my notice a day or two ago is Durban Watch, which is the Perils of Global Intolerance, United Nations in Durban 3. Well, the Durban Watch is something that is set up to oppose the Durban 3 conference, which is going to be taking place, I think, this coming Thursday, if I'm not incorrect about that, because it just says on Thursday, so September 22nd, yes, Thursday, September 22nd. And, of course, this has been very controversial, and Israel refuses to attend. This is called the World Conference Against Racism. Well, I'm not for the Durban 3 conference because it's a World Conference Against Racism, and I don't like when they bring up and play up the horrors of racism via the United Nations and so on. And I'm sure there are a lot of people who disagree with me who are trying to stand behind that, because Israel is against it because they are saying that racism that is intended to mean them. And there's a lot of truth in that because Israel is going to be condemned for its racist practices. And, you know, I talked about racism last week, so I hope you understand where I'm coming from on that issue. And on other shows, I've talked about it. Because of this, the United States and now also Britain, I believe, is saying they're not going to attend either because they have to stand by Israel. And Israel is totally condemning this conference against racism because they think that they're being targeted. And Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is going to be speaking at the conference. But guess who else is going to be speaking? Not at that conference. Then at this Durban Watch, which is going to be across the street from the conference, which is the pro-Israel group of people. And there's going to be a live webcast beginning at 9 a.m. And at this counter conference called, anti-Durban conference, they've got some speakers from academia and so on. And the first one they mention is Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel. So yeah, someone sent that to me. Otherwise, I don't think I would have noticed it. So I'm going to have to put something up on the Elie Wiesel blog about this. I haven't had time to do it, but I will be able to do it tomorrow. But also in company with Elie Wiesel is former Ambassador John Bolton. We all know who he is. Former Governor Mike Huckabee, the big Zionist. Academy Award-winning actor John Voight, another big Zionist. Former New York City Mayor Ed Koch, another big Zionist. And then, of course, Alan Dershowitz. We know he is certainly a Zionist. So this was just interesting to me because Elie Wiesel is going to be there. Now, the other thing about the control of Jews in our society is that dealing with the Vatican again, and the current Vatican has told its members that of this breakaway traditionalist Catholic group that Bishop, what's his name? The Holocaust denying bishop I don't think they've even got his name in this article. I should remember it, but all of a sudden I can't remember it. Is a part of and has not been. He has not been kicked out of there. He's still in there, and he still has to go. He's still not finished with being on trial in Germany for what he said on that Swedish interview. So that is still undecided. But anyway, the Vatican is dealing with this breakaway society called Saint Pius X, and wanting to bring it back into the regular fold. And this week it told its members that they must accept some core church teachings if they want to be fully reintegrated into the church. But it says that some expressions can be left open for discussion. So they have sent to this Society of St. Pius X a document telling them what they haven't made it public, but telling them which core church teachings they must accept if they want to come back into being a part of the regular church. But some of these things can be left open for discussion. So all the talk is about what things are left open for discussion. And of course, right away, the Jews get into it. And the Jews, say, oh, we're worried about this. Oh, we don't want anything to go back from the acceptance of Jews by the Catholic Church, and we don't want them to go back into any of their older teachings about us. And of course, Abraham Foxman seems to be the main spokesman when things have to do with the Catholic Church. Isn't that strange? Abraham Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League really is a very powerful fellow, even though he's constantly being made fun of. I don't quite understand how that works. I really don't. But he comes out and he says that he was confident that Pope Benedict would require the society to accept the church's positive teachings about Jews before being fully reconciled with the church. Well, if the Society of St. Pius accepts the church's positive teachings about Jews, then they have caved in altogether, and they might as well hang it up, and nobody should give them the time of day anymore, because this would be one of the few things that they should be not accepting. But it's Williamson, Bishop Williamson. Foxman says it would be unthinkable for the Vatican to allow a Holocaust denying, a breakaway sect that includes a Holocaust denying bishop to be reintegrated into the church while still being allowed to promote anti-Semitism and anti-Judaism. Well, Bishop Williamson has not made a good enough apology, and he hasn't denounced his former statements to the satisfaction of the Jews. But what I say is that the Catholic Church should not give a fig what the Jews think. It's their business what they do in their religion. There's nothing in the Jewish among those Jewish rabbis that they would allow the Catholics to tell them what to do in any way, shape, or form. We all know that. But the Catholic Church has been on this mission of making friends with the Jews for a long time. Now, here's another of these sticking his nose in where it's not his business. And I've seen him quoted in many articles about anything to do with the Holocaust, because he is Elan Steinberg of the American Gathering of Holocaust Survivors and Their Descendants, who said it would be catastrophic, you know, for the Catholic-Jewish relations if the Vatican didn't require the society to accept the document on the Jews. And we mustn't allow the moral imperative, blah, 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 of a policy of appeasement, he calls it, or blithe expediency. It's just so irritating. Now, here's Rabbi David Rosen. He says he's worried about the Vatican's gesture, and he's awaiting further clarification. Who knows what's gonna come of this? But these Jews are trying to control everything, and if we don't stand up, and people, like I was talking about in the first half of the program, are not the ones who are standing up to anything. You can sit and spout the phrase elite Jew pig and so on all you want. That is not, you know, you are not doing anything. These people on these internet radio programs are trying to make a little bit of a buck for themselves, trying to get away without really working by having radio programs just not really accomplishing anything for the cause, and they should not be given the time that is given to them to be listening to them. Now, in the last, I've still got 10 minutes. Okay. Here's a story that I want to talk about. Well, I'm going to go back to illegal immigration. 59% of the American public, supposedly, say that the United States government encourages illegal immigration. And naturally, the majority of Republicans, 70%, is the highest number. And voters not affiliated with either party is 61% that say that the government's policies encourage illegal immigration. Well, and now only 46% of Democrats believe that. Now, this might sound like good news, but it's really nothing. I mean, for these people to finally say, well, I think the U.S. government encourages illegal immigration. Well, we have known that since they passed the new immigration laws in 1965. So this is, you know, we certainly need to go a lot farther than this. These kind of stories, I wonder if they're just planted in order to make people feel like something is being done, some progress is being made. So they will stay calm and wait for the improvements to take place. Well, we know there's not going to be any improvement in this illegal immigration situation. And even the legal immigration is bad, is way too much. But now here's something. Why do we want to stop immigration, not only here in the United States, but in Europe also? Here's an interesting story from the UK. Gypsies keep white slaves. This is amazing. It's I really take offense when I hear the comments about the Gypsy Holocaust and how a million gypsies were murdered by the Germans, and sometimes they say 2 million, or they'll say maybe only 800,000. None of that is true. It is, I don't know what this story says, but it is like 20,000 gypsy people all over Europe died during the war, probably, say, from the war. But that's not very much. They did not suffer from the wars. Some of them were put into camps. They live in camps anyway. Here in the United Kingdom, there's a place called the Travelers. They're called Travelers. They're in at a Travelers site. There's a Travelers site in Bedfordshire where they have caravans. It's mostly where gypsies go and live. It's a place where gypsies congregate in their caravans and they live there. Now, what they found there was about 20 to 25 white people, white Europeans, English people, and some Eastern European people who were being kept as slaves at this traveler site. And they arrested four people, but they don't name them yet. This is from a few days ago. I didn't look up if there's anything latest. It's called the Green Acre Caravan Site. And four people they arrested, but they don't give their names. They don't show pictures of them. But they were keeping all these white people as slaves. They pick them up somewhere. Some of them, they were people living on the street. They were people who were in soup kitchens or something. And I guess they promised them some work or whatever. And these people went with them. And once they got in there, they locked them up in sheds and so on. And then they made them work, and they treated them very badly. They didn't give them much at all to eat. And these people, not being the brightest people in the world, kind of got used to it. And some of them had been there for many years. And and it turns out that some people had escaped from there, and they went to the police and reported it. And the police had it on their records, but they had never done anything about it. They had never... They filed it away because they had not solved the crime, and there were these people there, and they got new people in there all the time. Some hadn't been there too long, but some had been there for 15 years. Now these are the gypsies. Now don't tell me, and I don't suppose I have to tell you either, those of you who are still listening, that these poor non-white people have been suffering from white persecution all through history, and that they need to be allowed to they need to be helped, they need to be allowed to be they need welfare. That's what they need. They need welfare. They need to be helped. They need to keep their phony stories about being Holocausted alive and so on. And we're supposed to feel guilty about these people who are nothing but scums who would do things like this if they get the chance. This is just another example of how what we're told and what we're taught and what this whole guilt trip that we get on is completely false and phony, and it needs to be thrown out altogether. I think it was Steve who said, I wanted to comment on that. You can't go halfway with this. And there are too many people among us who, in my opinion, go halfway. And we have to go all the way if we're going to accomplish something. We can't do it halfway. And I don't think we can be friends with Jews. I think we have to go all the way with Jews. I think we have to say no Jews among us. There's just no other way to do it. Otherwise, we're never going to get separated. And we have to separate. We have to have some racial separation. How it's going to be done, I don't know. But more and more, I appreciate the fact that not only does mass multiculturalism not work, but it doesn't work if you're going to say, we can have a little bit of it. We had a little bit of it. You can have a little bit of it if you are clear about who's in control. You can never let a non-white person, and that includes a Jew, have any position of control. And if you have them in your organizations, they're going to have positions of control. So this is where I'm going with this, ladies and gentlemen. There it is. I kind of ran out of steam here, and it's a good thing my show has come to an end. I appreciate you listening. Appreciate the callers, and come back next week for a new topic. Good night.
Thanks for listening. The Heretics Hour returns Monday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. Join us at ReasonRadioNetwork.com.